Welcome to episode 4, Double Bubble with Girk and Keek. So glad to have you with us once again.
Welcome back.
So, oh my gosh, it's been a crazy week.
Has it?
Yeah, just, you know, after the holiday and stuff, I got busy with work. I can't believe how quickly this week went. You know, then there was like family drama and personal stuff. And
what's going on?
Good.
What's going on?
Well, some of it, you know, it's some family stuff that I can't really disclose, but let's just say it has to do with cancer.
It's always better when you whisper it. What was the movie? I have the worst memory ever.
It was Saint Elmo's Fire.
I feel like I say that in every episode. I'm always going, I'm going to do a montage of me going, what was the name of that movie? Saint Elmo's Fire, where she goes, she had the cancer.
Right. Where did you meet him? Prison. Oh, by the way, I am like crazy, you know, movie dialogue person. So I am too.
I love doing movie quotes, and I throw them out, and I don't even ever randomly say what they're from because I figure somewhere somebody is going to go, wait, was she just quoting a movie? Yeah, I do that a lot too. Mostly they're just from Ghostbusters and The Outsiders. But other than that.
Because those are the only movies. I do a lot from The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
200 times. So anyway, so there's just some, you know, so it's challenging when a family member is going through that. And in my family, I have 3 of 4 of the women in my family going through that right now.
Oh, crap.
So we just got some news this week about something else going on. And then you try to be really strong for the other people that it's affecting directly.
Yeah.
And it just wipes your ass out, you know?
It does. Personal shit sucks. I got to tell you, when I was going through my divorce, I feel like that I might have been the funniest I've ever been in my life. And yet bitter, super bitter. But at the time I was like, you know, bitter comedy is awesome. I'm hilarious. And then after a while, the bitter gets old. But yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to, you know, if you can't cry, you got to laugh, you know? Otherwise, you just be crying all the time.
If I'm in a bad mood or I'm pissed off, sometimes, and bitter is also good. And make myself laugh. I'm just like, oh my God, you're so funny. Oh my God, that is so mean what you just said to yourself about somebody else or whatever.
I'm such a bitch.
And then sometimes there's one girlfriend, if I'm in that kind of mood, I call her because I'm really snarky. And I'm not a snarky person, as you know.
No.
So for me to go that way.
That's me.
That's your role. But I'll call her up and I'll be like, I'm having a horrible day. Do you want to talk to me? Because I'll make you laugh your ass off.
Yes.
And then I'll just tell these stories.
My friends laugh because, yes, my bitter comes out. I'm so, you know, I can be so nice. Snarky, sure, but I can be so nice. And I always try to, like, play devil's advocate and see everybody else's side. But sometimes when I'm just, like, deep in it, oh, I go off and the curse words start flying and I just will rip people to shreds behind their back. And my friends just think it's awesome because I never do that. So when that happens, they're like, go, girl, go.
Well, you have this cutoff valve. That where it gets to a point where you're like, I'm having none of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too, actually, but it's just different. So
I just
don't
like to live there. I don't like to live there, but I got to tell you, sometimes going to there can feel really good.
It can just be fun.
Be like, you know what? She's a cunt and I hate her. Sometimes it just feels good. Get it out there.
It's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have this ability too of, and it's you know, I don't know how to describe it other than saying, if someone's being an asshole to me, I won't come at them at their level.
No.
So then I will use my vocabulary and I will use my tone and I will come at them something like this. And as they're continuing to just berate me or call me whatever they're calling me or whatever, and it incenses them more because when you talk to people who are aggravated, they want you to vibrationally be on the same level that they are.
Yes.
And when you have someone who's going, and you're going, Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, they start losing it even more.
I hear that you're really upset with me right now. Well, how do you feel about that?
And I don't want to emasculate you from your testicles. And they're like, what? Did she just say that she doesn't want to make me feel like a girl? You know what I mean? Like, I start using words and vocabulary that makes them even, because they're used to hearing like, fuck, shit, damn.
Yeah, later.
And
later they go, wait a minute. She just told me I was being a sissy little girl and I totally missed it.
Right. emasculate your testicles. Yeah. So then what will happen is the people around me are listening to what I'm saying, and then they're crying because the other person is completely oblivious to the missing, like, the ass whipping that they're getting verbally.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
That's good. That is good fun. That is good fun. Okay. So I'm going to derail us for a minute, because last week when we learned, or by, and by we, I mean me, when I learned my new word of the week was tumescent. And I was very happy to learn a new word. And later throughout the week, I was watching TV with my dude and we were watching this show, and this word came on the show. And I said, well, what is that? It was MTV. So of course it was a disgusting word. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Because they didn't explain it. They just kind of said it and they didn't explain it. And I went, well, have you heard of that? Have you heard of that, babe? And he was like, no, I never heard of it. So I had to look it up, and I looked it up, and when I looked it up, I went, oh my God. Uh-oh. And then it hit me. We need to do that. So I thought, I'm going to bring it to the show. Not every week, maybe, but for this week, the word of the week is blumpkin. The word of the week is blumpkin. So,
could you use it in a sentence, please?
That girl performed a blumpkin on him.
Oh.
Yeah. So blumpkin.
Do I guess? Do I get to guess?
Have you heard it?
I've heard it.
Okay. I had never even heard it. And when they said it on the show, they said, the girl was saying, she even offers to do blumpkins. That's what she does. And I was like, well, it must be something not good, because if she offers to do them and this girl is talking about that girl in a negative way, then what would that be? Blumpkin. And oddly, it doesn't sound like what it is.
Does it have to do with blowjobs?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm thinking, oh shit.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. Okay. So she blows him.
Yep. It's all about the location. Where is she blowing him?
Na, 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 okay. Na, so like the physical location of where she's blowing him? Na, na, na.
Yeah, it's a combination of where she's blowing him and what he's doing while she's blowing him.
Okay.
I was so horrified that this is a thing.
Okay, they're on the bus. She's blowing him while he's playing the trombone.
No, it's so fouler than that. It is so much. Okay, so think of the most foul thing that someone could be doing while you're blowing them. The most...
Oh, I know exactly. So she's blowing him while he's shitting.
Yes!
Yeah. Da-da-da!
Bing, 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 bing! Word of the week, blumpkin. Blumpkin. Go forth, people. Go forth and use blumpkin in a sentence. Just put it in there. Well, no one's noticing. Just slip it in and see if anyone even goes, wait, what did you just say? Can you believe that that's a thing?
Yeah, of course I can.
What? What on earth? Okay, first of all, I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to giving a guy a blowjob. I like giving my guy a blowjob. But seriously, there's a lot of stuff going on when you're doing that. Can you imagine having to deal with the smell I am still flustered about it. I was so disgusted when read that that's what that was.
I will draw the line there, because this whole goes into my exit only thing about the anus and anal sex and stuff. But
the fuck?
I'm going to go on record here. I'm going on record. I, Girk, will never give anyone a blumpkin.
That should have been my sentence. When you said use it in a sentence, I should have said, I, Keek, will never give you a blumpkin. I don't care how much money, what you offer. I will never give a blumpkin. And if that's a deal breaker... If that's a deal breaker for us, I'm sorry. Hit the door,
listeners,
Jack.
Listeners, anyone trying to set me up on a date?
And don't you come back.
No blumpkin. But here's the other thing that I wonder. Does she wipe his ass for him when he's done?
I don't give a shit.
Does she do the reach around and just...
No pun intended.
Does she do a reach around and wipe his hiney? How do you do that? How do you be like, hey, Cheryl, I got to take a big deuce. I got to shit. I feel like you should blow me while I'm doing that. Okay, Johnny, I'm going to come in. I'm going to suck you right off.
I honestly don't know what the lead-in for that would be. I don't know what the lead-in for that would possibly be. You'd have to, I don't know. How about, here's a, Blumpkin used in a sentence. Only prostitutes give Blumpkins.
Oh.
No, and now I've just offended any listeners out there who've given a Blumpkin. I can't imagine.
Really? Money. Are you really that worried about?
I can't imagine money.
Are you really worried about offending any of our listeners who are giving those fucking bitches? I give Blumpkins. I can't believe they said that. How dare they do
How
that?
How rude.
I'm never listening to them again.
I'm never listening to them again.
Because most of our audience are Blumpkin givers.
Money would have to exchange hands.
My God.
It kind of goes full circle with your farting from last week, with the fart, well, the poop fart and episode speaking from last of, week.
Yeah. It, well, you know, finding some synchronicity going on here because for me this week, too, there were a lot of stories that came up that kind of came full circle with some stories we did before. And it's funny that you said the Blumpkin thing, and we talked about farts next week because I just read this article, and it's really short. I'm actually going to read it.
Okay.
It's from a website called This Week. Smelling farts is good for your health. So now, let's take this all into consideration. The next time someone in your office lets out a silent but deadly emission, maybe you should thank them. A new study at the University of Exeter suggests that exposure to hydrogen sulfide, aka what your body produces as bacteria breaks down food causing gas, could prevent mitochondria damage. Yes, the implication is what you're thinking. People are taking the research to mean that smelling farts could prevent disease and even cancer. The study published in the Medicinal Chemistry Communications Journal found that hydrogen sulfide gas in rotten eggs and flatulence could be a key factor in treating diseases. Quote, although hydrogen sulfide gas is well known as a pungent, foul-smelling gas in rotten eggs and flatulence, it is naturally produced in the body and could in fact be a healthcare hero with significant implications for future therapies for a variety of diseases, end quote, Dr. Mark Wood, a professor at the University of Exeter. While hydrogen sulfide gas is harmful in large doses, the study suggests that a whiff here and there has the power to reduce risks of cancer, strokes, heart attacks, arthritis, and dementia by preserving mitochondria. Dr. Matt Whiteman, a University of Exeter professor who worked on the study, said in a statement that researchers are even replicating the natural gas in a new compound, AP39, to reap its health benefits. Back to you, Keek.
I think I'd rather have the heart attack.
Could you just imagine where that's now going to be the excuse of like, honey, I Dutch oven you because your arthritis is so bad today.
That's hilarious. I do it because I care. Stick your face down here.
So, wait, John, I'm going to give you that Blumpkin. And you know why?
Because my arthritis is acting up because I have heart disease.
Because dementia runs in my family and I'm very concerned about that. I'm going to blow you while you shit and fart so that I can be as close to the source as possible.
All the Blumpkin lovers out there are like, yeah, see? Fuck you.
See,
fuck you and your judgment, bitches.
I'm doing it for health reasons,
I'm
man.
Cancer. I'm cancer free, so screw you.
How dumb is that, girl? Susie, why do you give Blumpkins?
Well, cancer runs in my family, and I'm worried about dementia and arthritis. So I read this article about flatulence, and if I smell it and inhale it, that the mitochondria will it will like make me not disease. It will make me disease free, and I like it.
I heard on the radio this week that they were talking about this story where I guess there was some camping trip. I don't know if it was Boy Scouts or a church camp trip or whatever. I think it was a church group that, as a practical joke, somebody had brought this poop spray. There's an actual fart spray. And they brought it as a practical joke, but they sprayed too much of it because apparently it's really potent. And some of them had to go to the hospital. But maybe those people.
All it was the song, like, all it was poop spray.
Maybe those people are onto something because now they can put it on like medicinal sites and they can advertise it differently and they can say, you know, cures cancer.
A little spray will cure you.
A little spray will cure you. Now they can put that out there. They can put that next to the medicine for chemo medicine and fart spray.
But this article just opens this whole floodgate of flatulence, if you will, to, oh, like,
please,
being okay.
Please. You know what? Honestly, the people that are out there that are farting in elevators and farting at work, that catching a whiff of whoever's at work, like they said in the article, those people aren't going to stop anyway. They don't give a shit. No pun intended. They don't give a shit. So they're going to keep letting it fly. And your boyfriend who's going to give you the Dutch oven, he was going to give it to you anyway.
And the girl who was going to give you a Blumpkin, gentlemen.
She was going to do it anyway.
Okay, this was...
But the hoe bags are cancer-free. Anyway, go ahead. What?
Have you ever seen someone light their farts? Speaking of flatulence and methane and gas.
Okay, let me tell you a little story.
Please, because I've got one to share.
Let me tell you a little story about lighting a fart. I'm going to tell you a story because, again, my dude, who's the man of many jobs, he has many, many jobs, but one of his jobs was that he was... I just got Girk drinking.
Oh my God, I almost spit that out because it just, pictures just came into my mind. Okay, go ahead, please.
But one of his jobs was being a paramedic. Mm. And he told me a story, and I'm sure he would tell it better, but he told me a story, and because this is coming up now, I'm gonna share a third party, his third hand story of what he had to do when he went to on a call once because a guy lit a fart. So what happened, it was an accidental lighting of a fart.
There's no such thing.
It was an accidental. He was at a auto body shop.
Wait, I was going to say, is he walking by a blowtorch?
He was at an auto body shop. And the man had some sort of condition where he had severe flatulence. He had severe flatulence. And it was a condition that he had where he walked by, I don't know if it was a blowtorch or something, and literally, it lit his fart.
Wait, I was just laughing too hard. What?
He walked by, and I don't remember what it was, a blowtorch or something. And when he walked by, because he had severe flatulence, it lit his fart. But the sad thing about it was... It was an explosion. It sucked in, and it exploded from the inside like a little grenade. And everything that was on the inside was now on the outside. So it literally blew the intestines out of his ass.
At least it didn't blow up his intestines.
Oh, it did. So when my dude got to the site, he was like, holy shit. Everything, there was carnage. But he said he's got crazy stories. Crazy stories. We're going to have him on sometime to do our own, like, sex sent me to the ER, because he's got some crazy ass stories. And literally, no pun intended. I am just flinging the puns. But yeah, so when you said that, it reminded me of that story that he told me, because they literally had to put him and his intestines on a gurney and take him to the hospital to put all that stuff back together.
Yeah. I can appreciate that someone has a situation where they may experience a lot of flatulence. But someone somewhere has got to be saying, hey, maybe stay away from the broccoli and the gaseous food components. Maybe you're not eating eggs. Maybe you're not eating certain food items that cause that. Now, maybe for some...
Or maybe just don't walk near blowtorches. I don't know.
I think there's a couple components, but the second and most important thing is, regardless of your diet, maybe it's not diet driven that you have the problem. Maybe this is just how your intestinal system works. Great. But they do have these charcoal packs that you can put in your underpants that will alleviate, like, if you're farting, it's going to hit the charcoal first.
Seriously? I would think. So they have diapers? They have charcoal diapers for people who have over flatulence?
Yes, they're like charcoal pads.
Why do you know this?
Because I reach it. Because I look at stuff and it makes me laugh. Because farts are funny. I think we've had this discussion. And I've seen it in, like, what is it? You know those magazines that you get that, like, have the most ridiculous things you'll never use, like Carol Cook or something?
The shit that in the back where, like, when you get to the back of the magazine, it has all the freaky ads
It's like the Carol Cook or the Country Smith, or there's that have, like, learn how, like, to roll your own quarters.
Like it's Reader's Digest.
There's stuff that you don't even want, so I've seen stuff like that. And I'm like, then I go, does that really work? And women's magazines sometimes will have it for, whatever.
You buy some of that stuff, don't you, just to see?
No. I was going to make a joke from it. I'm like, no, I actually don't, because I'm a fly and be free gal. But anyway.
So one more thing. So you got to know, what the, everybody else must have been thinking at that dealership or the auto body place, because all of a sudden the guy's just walking by, his ass explodes and he falls to the ground and nobody knows why.
Oh my God, did you see Pete? He exploded. What? Oh my God, fucking don't fart around the blowtorches, man, I'll kill you. Little do they know, this guy has like a serious health condition. Now they're all scared to fart. Okay.
Wait, so what was yours? I hijacked your fart story.
So I was on vacation with about 10 people and we had rented a cabin and we had been drinking. I know that'll be a big surprise.
That is surprising.
It is. We went to a German restaurant for dinner.
Oh, Jesus.
Every single one of us was gassy. Every single one of us was gassy.
That had to have been some cabin.
And we've been drinking. It was almost like Blazing Saddles in the scene where they're around the campfire, they're eating the beans and everyone's farting.
Literally Blazing Saddles. Your saddles were blazing.
It was. So we're sitting there and now we're all around couches and hanging out with each other. We have a fire going and someone's like, we should be lighting our farts. And that's by the consensus of the group. We all thought that was a great idea.
You know what? When you're drunk and you're farty, I'm going to say that probably sounds like a genius idea.
Genius idea. And let me tell you something. I'd never seen it before.
I haven't. I don't think I have.
Oh, it's brilliant. And so like, it's different colors and you're clothed. I mean, you know, you have your pants on. So we're passing the lighter around. It's like, hey, wait, I got one. Hey, wait, I got one. And then there's like orange flame or green flame or whatever. And, you know, you see people and there's a way to do it.
Oh, is there? Like, Please tell me the technique. I need to know the way to do it.
Okay. So you sit and you get to the edge of the chair because you don't want the chair to absorb the gas because then you won't get a flame, but you want to make sure that you, when you have the lighter in your hand and then you're sitting like with your legs open because you want the most voluminous area of gas to come out.
Wait, so you're sitting so the flame shoots forward? I would have thought you would have done the whole like reach around behind. And
how do you see it?
Get to see it. It's for everybody else.
Oh, no. At least for us. Maybe there are other, I'm sure there are other many techniques.
So you're sitting on the edge of the chair. So your little, your little bunghole is pointing forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
but
so
how do you not singe the carpet?
Well, hopefully you're sitting on a chair.
No, but the farts that you're lighting the fart, it's going down. How do you not singe the carpet? I don't know. Just shut the hell up. I'm telling a story.
But what you want to do is you want to make sure that
I'm trying to apply logic. I'm sorry. No more logic.
Yeah, please don't. So you want to take your arms and put it underneath your thighs.
Okay.
Okay. You don't want to light the fart over the top. And there's a reason. You don't want to light the fart over. So everyone's sitting there and you're in these like contorted kind of positions because you're lifting your leg and you got your arm underneath your thigh and you're lighting your farts. But what's happening is hilarity is ensuing because everyone is laughing because we're seeing these flames, right?
Wait, I have a question. I have a technical question. Does it still smell when you light it?
I don't recall, but I don't think so.
So the fire absorbs the smell? It.
Right. Oh. Well, and then think about lighting a match, right? The sulfur from that.
Yeah, but the lighters don't have the same sulfur smell.
No, I know, that's true.
But anyway, go ahead. It just hit me.
So
I was
there was
curious.
This one guy, and he's like, oh my God, I have a huge fart coming. And we're all like, six. Oh my God, yay. Bob's got a great fart coming. Give him the lighter, hurry quick. He put his hand over. Remember,
oh,
I told you don't.
No, no, don't cross the flames. Don't cross the flames.
Put his
or the streams.
Hand over,
don't cross the streams.
And he lit the fart. It was like an explosion. It was like the great. Remember in the Wizard of Oz where you see the wizard and it's like fires all around him.
Did he singe his eyebrows?
It was so big that you could barely see him through those burst flames. We had to pull him off the couch and hit the couch because we were afraid that he was, all of a sudden it's like, what? Wah! And then you're like, oh shit, the couch could be on fire. And we're pulling him off the couch and we're hitting the couch cushion. And okay.
Fuck the couch cushion. What about him?
The hair on his arm was singed off. I think he lost a couple eyebrows. It was so funny, but here's what you have to be careful of. And this is the thing, even with that, like the other gentleman you were talking about, when there's also the technique of when you fart, you want to push it all out.
Oh yeah.
Because if you let any back
backdraft,
in that flame,
baby, backdraft.
It is total backdraft. Total backdraft.
So did he have a little backdraft action?
No, I don't believe he did. But after that, it kind of like, it yeah, like
I'll bet
scared
that put
us.
A damper on it, huh? Nobody wanted to do it after that.
It scared us straight. Of
scared
course,
straight.
We continued to laugh for like 2 hours.
Of course because, you did.
Because we were drunk and the fact the guy had like missing hair. He was fine. But it was just like, I'm not going to do it now.
And he crossed the streams.
He did cross the streams. So there you go.
Oh my God.
Again, like I was telling you that we, a lot of stories this week that were coming up that are other ends to stories we've told in the past. So here's the opposite. Remember we were talking about the fleshlight last week?
Oh, yeah.
It goes on the iPad that you can, that guys can get off to.
Were you motivated to do some more fleshlight research? Did you go Absolutely. See a picture of it? Did you look it
no,
up so you could see
you know,
a picture
I,
of it?
It? The mental picture that I had
was
just
Was it better?
Fine.
Was it classic?
Yeah, it was. But I just did not need to go. But so of course, you know, I believe in synchronicity. So apparently I'm supposed to talk about this. There's this device called the Kegel.
Kegel. Well, oh.
Not Kegel. Oh. But the device is called the Kegel. Kegoal.
I need to do those more, by the way.
Well, you know what? Ironically enough, you're going to be able to do this.
Does it help me?
Well, this device is supposed to help doing Kegel exercises more easy and fun for women.
Yeah, but why do they call it a Kegel? Goal.
G-O-U-M. Because it's the name of the product. So in line with Kegel exercises, it's a Kegel. Okay, so for those of you that don't know what a Kegel is, and some people call it Kegel, so Kegel, whatever.
Kegel?
Mm-hmm, I've heard people.
I've never heard it called a Kegel. They're clearly mispronouncing it. It's Kegel like bagel. Kegel.
Right, and then that take us into the whole discussion of quiff or queef.
We'll it's queef. It is clearly queef.
It is not.
Oh.
It's not. How do you spell it? Okay, now let's just go there. How do you spell it?
Q-U-I-E-F.
No. Do you know what it stands for?
No. What does it stand for?
Quiet. Q. Unidentified internal fart. Q-U-I-F. Quiff. And it's spelled like it sounds. Because when it comes out, quiff. That's what you hear.
No, you don't. I don't know what yours sound like. Mine don't sound like that.
I can't tell you that I've had one in a while, thankfully, like years. But you know when you heard them? When you were in like seventh grade?
It does
grade
not
and
come out like quiff. It comes out like...
You just sounded like a horse.
That's my horse sound. But that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Do you know the first time I heard a quiff, I was like in seventh grade. And we were in gym class and we were doing those scissor kicks.
And you're like.
And all these girls are like. Oh my God.
Every time you walk. And they were doing scissor.
What
scissor.
Do you mean every time you walk?
No, I'm just saying scissor. Scissor.
Yes.
Scissor.
Yes. And then, you know, at first
it's
you're like
13. It's not just a very polite quiff. It's a queef. Because a queef sounds like that's what it is. It's
no,
just.
No, you've got to go with the spelling.
Oh, I will not. I will not.
Q-U-I. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you say Jiffy peanut butter or do you say Jiffy peanut butter?
First of all, peanut butter has nothing to do with my vagina.
But how it's spelled.
I don't give a shit. I will not change.
All right, well, there you go.
Queef.
Anyway.
Right in. Motherfuckers.
No, I have a girlfriend who can quiff on command. And I've I've literally said to her, okay, Joan, could you just do it? Because it's...
If you get in the right kind of yoga position and you get up like where you're lying on the ground and you get up on your shoulders where you're kind of holding your hips and you kind of try to get some air in there and you come down really fast. Sometimes, yeah, you can. I was listening to Mark and Brian once and they had this girl who could, I'm going to say queef because they had this girl who could queef on command and Bon Jovi was on and they were singing, I think they were singing, or I think it might've just been Richie. It was Richie Sambora was on and he thought that was the best thing ever. So he proceeded to sing a live version of Dead or Alive. While
and she was percussion?
While she was the queefing percussion. It was the best thing ever. It was hilarious.
Oh no, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's good
times. It's good times.
Okay, so, and then for those of you who don't understand really what quiff is, even though I've just said and identified what it was, it's when a copious amount of air enters the vaginal canal and then gets by your Kegel muscles, I would imagine, gets expelled back out, and it
sounds like a fart, and it's really embarrassing. And when I'm having sex, I cannot stand it. I hate it when that happens because there are certain positions that cause air to be shoved up in there, and then when you turn around and do other positions, all that air comes right out, and I hate it with a passion.
You know what would happen if that was me?
You would be hysterically laughing.
I would be laughing so hard. And it would depend on where I was in the relationship. You know, like first, I would be mortified because now we're way going off the tracks. But along with quiff sounds, you got the slapping skin sounds. You know what I mean? Especially if you're a little bit robust.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's so sexy. There's like, you know.
It's like. Like we're in a barnyard. We're scalloping. Okay, so anyway, if it was in the beginning of the relationship, that would be mortifying to me. And I know for me that if I'm in the beginning of a relationship and I'm laying in bed and I have to fart, I am squeezing my ass cheeks together.
Squeezing? I can't get up to pee myself. I could not bear down hard enough than to try to keep myself from... I still do. I do not like to fart in front of my guy, and we've been together for 3 years. I spend half of my life bearing down.
Listen, if that's the case in the beginning, if I have to fart in bed, if you stuck a piece of coal in my ass, that motherfucker would come out a diamond because I am doing everything I can to keep that from coming out. And, you know, because...
No woman wants to fart in front of her guy. No. That's mortifying.
Yeah, so you got that, we're going to have a discussion, a further discussion at some point about the craziness.
Thank God queefs don't have a smell, because honestly, like, you know, there's nothing that you need to screw up the magic more in bed than all of a sudden being surrounded by a smell.
You know, I'd like to quote you on that.
Yep.
Ladies, gentlemen, there is nothing worse than having a smell while you're having sex.
I know. One of my friends has actually started a Twitter thing, # shit the keek says. Sometimes I just say stupid stuff. Okay.
Oh, so I thought that was brilliant. Anyway,
was it brilliant? And that was magic. I think that was a little bit of magic. Take that with you and quote me. Go forth into your day and quote the keek. Okay, so...
Okay, so back to Kegels.
Oh, right. Kegels. Yeah. Holy crap. I need to do more of those. I got to, you know, I'm getting older.
Well, let me tell you. We're going to help you out here. Okay. You know what? Honestly, I have no problem with that. And
I don't either, but I don't want to. I don't want to be one of those women who gets older and when I cough, a little bit of pee comes out. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, that's one thing. But you know what? My muscles are so strong there that literally if I'm in the midst of a certain amount of pleasure, I can clamp down. And he's not going anywhere.
That's freaky. You're Mm-mm. like, that's freak show freaky.
No, that's just strong pelvic muscles. And and I've been told, I mean, like, I'm not breaking it in half. It's not
No,
like...
that is one lucky dude, though. All right, yeah. For those of you out there in the Chicago area, Girk is single. And she could grab your shit and hold on for life. So you better message her.
Yeah. Moving along.
We're on Facebook. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Kegels, which are strength training for your pelvic floor muscles, can enhance a woman's sex life and help bladder control and are recommended to many pregnant women because when you're pregnant, you have a tendency to lose some bladder control. But it turns out most women aren't great at doing the exercises or quickly abandon their routine out of boredom.
I'm doing them right now.
Yes. The Kegel... which has already raised more than $67,000 as a press time on Kickstarter, is expected to retail for $175. So there you go. And it seeks
screw them. I'm doing it right now.
Well, if you know how to do it correctly, and they're suggesting a lot of women don't know how to do this correctly. So it seeks to be a revolution in pelvic floor health by guiding, measuring, and tracking pelvic floor exercises. Apparently, studies show 30% of women are currently doing their Kegel exercises wrong.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to squeeze the sphincter.
Right, right. I don't. A quote, These are generally involuntary, subconsciously controlled muscles. So when someone tells you to squeeze your pelvic floor muscles or crunch them, it's not intuitively obvious at first how to do that, end quote. John Thomas, the vice president of manufacturing for Minna, the sexual health products company that designed Kegel, told this organization this news story. Our product tells you how you're doing. So your squeezing progress is tracked through a body-safe silicone pillow, which is inserted into your vagina, and feedback is given through the app. If you do, now here we go.
There's an app? Oh my God, Kegels, there's an app for that.
Yeah, but it gets better. If you do the exercise correctly, you get a little buzz. You hear me? And yep, you can turn the vibration up if you need a bit more exercise incentive.
You just got my attention.
While there are other vag strengthening products on the market, the designers point out that they aren't able to track your lady bits progress over time, much like Fitbit does for your other parts when you're walking and your heart rate and stuff. As for the vibration, it's totally optional and can be turned off if users find it annoying. Who the fuck is going to find it annoying?
I want one. Oh my God, I just went from totally making fun of it. I want one.
Right. So now it's worth $175. It's the best dildo you'll ever buy.
Fuck,
and you're getting exercise from it.
And people don't know you have it in. You have it in? You put it in?
Yeah. I'll tell you about the design in a second, because it also says that, you know, it can also make exercising your vagina a little more exhilarating if you're into that.
Who isn't into that?
Mm-hmm. It's a short-term reward for exercises with long-term benefits. We're making something that's traditionally very boring fun. Okay.
I want to go there.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the website. But so it looks like the one part that gets – okay, so it's almost kind of like this little U thing. So it's kind of got the – if you've ever seen the dildo, the rabbit, where it's kind of got the – or the dolphin, where it's kind of got that hook. Yeah, the hooked nose kind of thing that comes out.
Yeah, the only thing I like about the rabbit is the hooked nose.
There you go. Okay. So this one that's shaped like an egg, it's one piece, but the part that gets inserted into you is like an egg shape. Okay. So I guess you put that in, and then the little like handle, if you will, like the mug handle, sticks out, and then there's a plug.
So the little mug handle vibrates on your clit?
I don't think so. I think it vibrates. I think the egg vibrates. So it might be hitting your G spot.
Oh, okay.
If it's long enough, but anyway, so. Then it has this USB cord. And here's where it gets a little concerning.
It just got not sexy.
This is where it gets a little concerning for me. So clearly, you know, you're not grocery
really
shopping.
Walk around in it. Okay.
They're yeah, like, I don't
what?
Think you...
Ma'am, I think there's a cord coming out of your pants. Yeah.
It almost looks like you have a penis because the handle, you know, like...
That's great.
So anyway, so I don't know.
So everybody in the grocery store is going to think I'm like either a tranny or...
Here's kind of where it sounds like a really great idea to me, and then this is where it gets a little convoluted because we are. I hope we're all getting comfortable with how my mind works.
So I think we know how your mind works.
Yeah. Okay. So you got this thing inserted in you. I gotta imagine you can be watching TV, and I would think that if you have the vibration on, you're not exactly doing that when you're out about the town. But maybe you're in your bedroom or whatever. But so the handle part has this plug that you can connect a USB cable to. One, I don't know if. You have to have it plugged in while you're doing the exercises because that's how it's monitoring it. Or if once you're done doing the Kegel exercises, you take it out and plug it in to the iPad or whatever to download the information. But this is...
That sounds complicated.
As we have discussed, I know how strong my Kegel muscles are. And all I can think of is if you got that vibration on high enough and like you have this fucking amazing orgasm that's coming...
You're going to short it out.
It shoots across the room and you're like... Your iPad goes with it because you just propelled this Kegel.
Oh, Jesus, how strong are you? I mean, could you go to like Thailand and be like one of those women that shoots balls out of her vagina? Like you could be in one of those freak shows that shoots the, what are they, golf balls or the little...
No, I shoot nails out. No more need for a hammer.
Like a fucking nail gun.
I do rivets. No, I don't know. I've never done anything like that. But that was where my mind went. It's like, so I got this thing in me. I have this like momentous orgasm that's coming on. And that mother just goes flying across the room. And my iPad's just shattered.
We're going to call you Rivet Rosie. You're going to have to go to the Mac store and be like, so what happened, ma'am? Well... You see what happened? I just dropped it. Let's just leave it at that.
How do you say that? Yeah, you're at the Apple store and you're like,
why is it wet? Well, you see, there's a little, you know how some women can ejaculate? No, you know what? Right? Never mind. I just dropped it.
Yeah,
I was taking care of my personal feminine health. And yeah, no.
No, you know what?
How much do I owe you?
How much do I owe you? I'm just going to buy, you know what? I'm just going to buy a new one. I'm just going to buy a new one. Let's.
Yeah. Could you ring me up, please? So it's just fascinating. I seriously want one.
Well, Tim, super fan Tim, if you're really a super fan, you will buy me one. You will buy me
one. I'll take one, Tim.
Here's the thing. Can we do it as a write-off? I need to call my accountant. What are you writing off? Well, see, okay. So here it is. You know what? Never mind. Never mind.
You could totally, again, because your accountant doesn't, pour through what your expenses are. It's only when you get audited that's what sucks.
Okay, so it'll be the IRS. What's this,
man? The guy's going,
what it is, you know what? I'll just pay the fine. What's the fine?
Let me get my checkbook.
It was a write-off, I swear. It was a business expense.
So needless to say, Kegel could be coming to a store near you or online.
Is it not available yet? Yeah. Please don't tell me it's not available yet.
It's not. I don't think it's expected to retail. It's not available yet. We'll have to keep it updated.
You are a nasty bitch for telling me.
I told you it was on Kickstarter.
It's a tease.
I told you.
God damn it.
But you can look up the company. It's called Minna. M-I-N-N-A.
Well, I don't want to stick something up my hoo-ha that's not FDA approved.
Oh, please, you think they're going to... Are you kidding me? You think the Fleshlight is FDA approved? You think they're going to FDA approve something that's going in your vagina?
Well, what happens if it's made of, some sort of cancer material? Then I'm going to have to be smelling farts for the rest of my life to make sure I don't get cancer. I'm going to have to be blumpkinning myself. I'm going to be shoving that thing up my cooter and smelling farts at the same time just to make sure I don't get cancer.
So you can use this product. I think obviously that's it's disturbing. Very important to be as well-trained in all muscles that are important as possible. So like I said, I think that I think taking care of your sexual health is really important. And I would go so far to say I just read an article that for women, eating an apple a day could improve your sex life. This information was published in the Archives of Gynecology and Obstetrics, where they took a group of women, 731 women in Italy from the ages of 18 to 43. Half the participants were asked to at least eat one apple a day in their diet, while the other half was asked to abstain. And based on a list of questions, 19 questions the study participants took part of, they were able to discern their sexual activities and their overall satisfaction. Here's the deal. Scientists surmise that the higher satisfaction of these apple-eating women may be thanks to the compound, and I'm going to get this wrong, either it's floridzin or fluoridzin, which is present in apples, which is similar to the female sex hormone, estradiol.
What kind of apples? I'm in. What kind of apples?
Any apples. Well, because apples also contain polyphenols and antioxidants, just like chocolate wine.
Yeah, they say that apples, I mean, seriously, I feel like I've read so many studies. Either that or the apple lobby is huge, because they say that apples are the perfect fruit, that there's so much stuff in apples that literally that's where the saying an apple a day keeps the doctor away, because they say apples are fantastic.
Well, they say that it stimulates blood flow, assisting in arousal, and also that the fruit may lower blood fat levels. And so if you're postmenopausal, it could cut the risk of heart attacks and strokes. So so interestingly enough, I think that girl who does a blumpkin is probably eating an apple before she does that.
She's smelling farts. She's eating. She's probably the healthiest motherfucker on the planet.
And we're totally judging her.
But that goes in hand with the apple thing. I also read something recently that basically said that unless you're buying organic apples, you might as well just, it's a wash.
Because of the pesticides on it?
Because of the pesticides. There's no amount of washing that can be done to a non-organic apple that's going to get all that shit out of it. So for those of you out there who are worried about your sexual health and want to eat apples every day, buy organic.
Yeah. And I just saw, since, again, I don't know what, third episode in, we're still doing a lot of sex talk, but I guess that's kind of just where we're going here.
This would be the fourth episode in, but that's okay.
Oh, that's right. See? Look how time flies.
Time flies. We're never not going to do all the sex
talk. I don't
see
how we can. That's not who we are.
It's not possible.
So I found
it's not who we are. It's not who we are.
It's not who we are.
Okay. Well, this has absolutely nothing to do with apples, but because I had heard a story from a friend of mine And I was going to tell you about it. And so since, I don't know what made me think of it with the apples, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because a friend of mine was telling me about this guy who, maybe it ties in with the sex thing, because it's a sex thing. It's a guy who gets a lot of women, and he's very proud of the fact that he gets a lot of women. So what he does is, he, before he goes on a date, or before he goes up to a woman, if he wants to get laid, he knows a surefire way of getting laid on a date. And this is a first date, not necessarily, I mean, it could be a couple of dates in, but if this guy wants to get laid, what he does is he reaches his hand somewhere, obviously, where she can't see him. He either goes to the bathroom or whatever, you know, secretly. He reaches his hand down his pants and he gets a little of his ball juice on his hands. And then he finds a reason to touch her face.
I'm sorry, what is ball juice?
You know, he just kind of rubs his balls and gets a little
Okay, so like the sweat from his balls.
Yeah, just like the essence. Okay. The essence of ball, if you will. He gets a little of his own ball essence on his hands. And then when he comes out, he finds a reason to touch her face. You look so pretty tonight. He touches her chin. He finds a reason to touch her chin. You look really pretty. Puts his hand on her chin. And what he's doing is he's wiping his ball essence, his ball juice on her chin.
And like some sort of pherome? And then she's like, oh my God, I smell balls. I smell balls.
Subconsciously, he says that subconsciously, whatever it is about his, your own like ball essence, yes, makes her horny and want to have sex, and then he gets laid. Now, I find that horrifying. Again, full circle from the beginning of the episode, from Keek being horrified to the end of the episode where Keek is still horrified. I find that horrifying, not just because this one guy does it and it works for him. It works for him. So you know what? He's an ass. But
so he says it works for him.
But it works for him, and he's getting laid.
I have knitted brows. I'm perplexed. I know.
But the problem that I have is he's going forth and sharing his wisdom throughout the land to the younger men out there. And they are eating it up, as it were, and listening and taking notes and then going forth and trying it. So now there's a whole generation of little shit kickers out there wiping their balls and wiping it on girls' chins because they think that's going to work. Yeah, take that with you. Wait, what the fuck is wrong with that? So many things.
What if I went in and be like, oh, I'm just going to wipe myself a little bit and then go touch a guy in the face?
Because a guy, guys, no, are you kidding? They can smell vag juice from a mile away. They'd be like, did you just
wipe your vag on my face?
Did you just wipe your vag on my face? And I'm not going to lie. Some men probably would be like, my guy would be like, oh my God, let's go right now.
Yeah.
But I, you know. I don't think it,
I'm just envisioning this. Like, I would love, quite frankly, to have a hidden camera and tell somebody to do that. And that, if they're that gullible and stupid that they would do that, I would think that would be so funny to see someone do that and then like go up and touch a woman's face. I mean, I'd feel badly for the woman, but
my guy does it to me all the time now because I made the mistake of telling him that story because I thought it was so hilarious and so disgusting that now I'll turn around and he'll be touching my face, going, "Baby, I love you." I'm like, "Oh."
Ew!
You just juiced me, didn't you? You just essenced me.
Yeah, you're getting that. You know, you may not be knowing it, but you're getting it from the guy who scratches his balls too. Even if wasn't his master plan.
Yeah.
The guy who does the reach and the scratch. Yeah,
but he doesn't do it on purpose. This guy does it on purpose because he literally thinks he's some sort of ball essence Casanova.
How would you feel if you were the woman who finds out that this asshole? That's his, like...
That he just slimed you?
Yes.
No, gross. Gross. He claims that it works for him. But this is also the guy... Then my friend went on to tell us that this is also the guy... The reason why he dates younger women is not the reason you would think. The reason why he dates younger women is because he thinks in his mind of math. He looks at it from a mathematical standpoint of how much pipe...
Oh, do tell this what this genius has to say about this.
How much pipe has been laid in her. So you figure if you go for a younger woman, you think about how many guys, it's all mathematical. You think about how many guys she's been with, how many times a week that she's probably had sex with that guy, and how much pipe has been laid. If you go for an older woman and you just think, oh my God, there's been a lot of dick in her and he doesn't really want that vag because it's had way too much dick in it. So that's why he goes for the younger woman. Not because it's a, ego thing or he likes the young, hot women. It's literally because he wants the cleaner vagina.
That is completely offensive.
Isn't it? I'm sorry. I was offended at ball juice. But yeah, oh yeah, this guy sounds like a winner. And guess what, girls?
He's out there.
He's single.
Yeah, big surprise. Okay, so then you'll love this because there's a guy that I know.
Yeah.
Who was barely dating women. I think his daughter was like 19 at the time. Barely dating women older than her. Barely dating women older
than
her.
That's disturbing.
Hey, you know what? I kind of go with the flow where it's like if they're consenting adults.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't get me wrong. They're consenting adults. But you got to know that he's got to look at her. How do you differentiate between looking at her and then looking across the dinner table at your daughter and going, oh,
right.
Wait a minute. They're the same age.
Well, a little bit. Let's just so several years. I mean, let's say 5 years older. Okay, let's not. I won't be making it like with, you know, they graduated high school a year apart. But so he's, you know, in this conversation, it was like, so dating a woman your age is like not what you want to do. And he's like, no, you know, it's he got married young and whatever. So there's that whole emotional psychological baggage with it. So for a number of years, he was dating women that were younger with him. And what freaked me out one time is I actually saw him on Match.com and I was like, oh boy, there you go. This is the gene pool that I'm swimming
How
in.
Are you even able to see him? Don't you usually put in like a limit, an age limit where it's like he doesn't want anyone to see his profile who's over 25
well, apparently,
years old?
Yeah, apparently he didn't put those parameters on it. But anyway, so then something happened in his life. I don't know whatever that was because it's not someone that I'm close to. It's just someone that I know. And he is now in a relationship with a woman who seemingly is around his age, which is great. Whatever, again, no judgment on what he's doing, except to say that he posted on Facebook in a very derogatory and negative manner about the fact that Monica Seles, who is in her mid-30s,
yeah,
is marrying a man who is 72. And he was all up in arms about it.
One of my best friends is married to somebody who's 30 years older than her.
Yeah, and I hope they're happy.
They're super happy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But no. What it really, it kind of was that same kind of waka waka affront of men. So it was okay when you did it.
But when not when you, someone else does it?
Yeah, because she's a gold digger. I responded because if you read the article, you will see that they have been already dating for 3 years. A normal relationship these two people are having.
I'm sorry. On what planet is he going to call Monica Seles a gold digger? That chick has got to have so much money. How is she a gold digger?
Because the guy's like supposed to be like a billionaire.
Who cares? So she has her own money.
Right.
Oh, I get so fired up with that shit. That shit fires me up.
I was completely, you know, and I said so. I'm just like, who are you to judge, man? And I, you know, without like calling
especially
him on his shit.
Glass houses, asshole.
Yeah, without calling him on his own shit, because that's what I wanted to do. But I just was like trying to be, you know, keeping the, I didn't want it to get into this, you know, stupid Facebook back and forth thing. I just literally said, you know what? When two people are happy, it's not for any of us to judge. I'm like, our spirits are infinite. If this is the bag that we came in on, if this genetic body that we have, this carbon that we occupy, came in at a different time than somebody else, and we find each other and we're happy, who are you to say? And why do I care what you think?
And for people, I don't live that way. I don't automatically assume the worst in people. I usually go for the best. And then sometimes I get burned because then you learn later on that, oh, okay, well, maybe it was the worst. But you got to go in assuming the best of people, assuming that maybe they're in love. Maybe she loves him. Maybe she just has daddy issues. Who cares?
Well, they're not mine. So here, you know, I have a friend who got married really young and, you know, had a child and the child grew up and his marriage, wasn't what he wanted to be. And they divorced and he started dating a woman, at least 17 years, his junior. And I've had the privilege of meeting her. And the one thing I don't like is when older women assume and really bag on younger women for going out with an older guy or vice versa. Like I get it both ways where I'll go there in a second. Anyway, I had the privilege of meeting her. She is lovely.
Yeah.
She is intelligent and articulate and fun, and he is extremely happy.
That's exactly the way my best friend and her husband are. It's exactly the same.
And so I totally am cool with that. Like, I'm just like, I don't even, because I don't think like that.
No.
No. And it took me a while to go after I, you know, I witnessed that. I'm like, because I was being single. I'm like, well, would I do that? Could I do that? And I don't know, because I think, I mean, I think it would have to be based on the individual. Because sometimes you don't think you're going to relate to someone who's maybe significantly different.
You know what? But different strokes for different folks, man. Just because, you know, you and I might not go there. My first husband was 13 years older than me. And, you know, after the divorce, would I do it again? I don't know that I would. But it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, everybody.
Would you do it? But would you not do it because... I thought you guys related very well. Did you?
Oh, we did. No, we totally did. We didn't get divorced because he was 13 years older. That had nothing to do with it. But, right. But I, you know, but then it was interesting, honestly. And again, I know we said we were going to do a whole dating episode, and we will, but it was really fascinating to me learning what I learned from that and coming out of it and kind of saying to myself, well, how I had to kind of reinvent who I was going to be and how I was going to be dating in my late 30s, early 40s, because I was young. I was 23 when we met. I wasn't, you know, I was 32 when we got married, but I was 23 when we met. So I didn't have the same dating experience that everybody else had. I spent my entire 20s dating this one guy. So right. It was really kind of bizarre for me to come out and learn the ropes again. Because I didn't really know the ropes to begin with. So right. It was kind of interesting because I really was curious to know what I was going to be like in a different relationship and what I was going to be like dating as an adult or, you know, a more mature adult. It was fascinating. There was a lot about it that was just shit. But there was a lot about it that was really interesting and eye-opening.
But then going back to the age thing, because, you know, I look at where I'm at now and it's like, okay, if I dated, you know, 10 or 15 years younger than me, this is where the person age would be. And if I dated 10 or 15 years older than me, this is where the person would be. And it's really interesting because I don't think you have to be within 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of each other to relate on any level. Because if you're spiritually connected, that's it. That's what it's about, right?
If you're spiritually connected, that's absolutely it. But for me, my choice for my next partner was not, I did not want the age range for me because I am getting older and I just, you know, there was stuff that I just didn't, you know, when you're in your 40s and I don't want to date a guy that's 10 years away from being 70. You know, I mean, there was choices that if I fell in love with someone, then I'm going to love them. And obviously that's how it goes. But if I was going to choose who my next partner was going to be, yeah, I definitely didn't think I really wanted to go down that road.
And when I was thinking about it, you know, as I, you know, I was married for 10 years. And when I was thinking about the different relationships that I've been exposed to and seeing, and then, you know, becoming single and right around the same time that my friend did and started dating this woman, I was like, just kind of looking around at other relationships that I saw. And I realized that of the five other siblings in my mother's family, three of them are married to people almost 10 years plus in difference in age.
Yeah.
You know, three of the other siblings.
I feel like it's really common now. And maybe it's just because we're in our 40s and a lot of our friends, there's a large amount of my friends. I don't have that many single friends that are my age, but of the single friends that I do have that are my age, a lot of them are dating and or married to guys that are considerably younger, which is so interesting to me. And again, I think that's a topic that we might have to have, because I was thinking about when we get into having guests, because we would like to have guests. One of the guests that I wanted to have was one of my girlfriends who ended up marrying a guy who's like 25 years younger than her, because I find that fascinating.
Well, and I want to, so well, I think this is a good place to run out, but what's interesting is my family is that, you know, whether these are aunts or uncles, the woman is the younger one.
Oh, right? Yeah. But with me and our friends, it's the women who are the older ones and the guys are younger. And I just think and maybe it's just because we're of that age, so it's more noticeable to us and more in our circle, more in our wheelhouse. But I feel like for us, it's way more the opposite. Way more of our friends are dating and or married to younger guys than the other way around.
And then let's go back to this. We'll finish here and we'll go back to the guy that I talked to originally who was dating younger women. Then all of a sudden came, like, got so unglued about this Monica Seles thing. And this is what I have with the problem with society, right? Which is, it's okay for Michael Douglas to be married to Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's 25 years his junior. Sean Penn is with a woman who's in her, with Charlize Theron, who's in her 38 or 40. He's 53. Who else? Someone just had a baby.
Yeah, well, but Dennis Quaid. Everybody can do what they want. Celebrities can do what they want.
Right. I know, but everyone's fine with that. Like, no one, it seems okay if the men are older and the women are younger. But now when you've got someone like Jennifer Lopez or Madonna or Tina Turner.
Demi Moore.
Right, Demi Moore. Tina Turner married a guy who I think is 20 years her junior. She'd been dating since the 80s.
Oh, did
she? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's 72, and I think he was like 58, maybe? Something like that.
Yeah, it but she's seems... Tina fucking Turner. I mean, you know.
I know. The only reason I'm making mention of celebrities is because of the notoriety, right, part of it. But why does it seem to be such a big deal? And I cannot stand the word cougar. And then what's the other one? Cougar, and now there's one that's like tigress or something.
If you're in your 50s...
If you're in your 50s, you're called a lioness or something, some bullshit like that.
I don't give a fuck.
It's offensive to me. I didn't go to bars. And offensive.
When I was single, I didn't want to go to bars because I just didn't want to be, because there are no bars out there. At least I couldn't find any bars out there that seemed like they had people my own age. Everybody seemed so much younger and I just felt like a cougar. And I had so many debates with my friends because we got called... Me and a bunch of my friends who you know, we went out one night for somebody's birthday. They wanted to go to some hot happening bar downtown LA because there's so many like bars springing up downtown that are super hip and happening. And we went to this bar and I think somebody called us cougars. We were walking by and some younger guys turned to his friend and was like, oh, look at the cougars. I was offended by that. Not offended, but just kind of mortified, like, oh, fuck me. I don't want this. And my girlfriend... thought that it was great. She thought it was great. And so I went home and I called one of my friends at the time who was younger, good looking, younger guy, called him to say, is this offensive? Was he like calling us out? Like, oh my God, look at those cougars. What the fuck are they doing here? Or was it something that, you know, was a good term? Was it a term of like, look at those hot fucking cougars. I want to bag one of them. So it was a raging debate, and again we'll have to pick that up because we're running out of time. We'll have to pick that up on the next episode,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
because it's a hot debate. It's a hot debate. I didn't like it, and my girlfriend thought it was great. But
what did he say?
He thought it was a compliment. He thought it was a compliment, but he was with his girlfriend at the time, and his girlfriend chimed in and was like, "Yeah, but I mean, you know, at least they didn't call you whatever the next level up was, the lioness, or at least they didn't call you whatever the women in their 50s are." And I was like, "Yeah, I guess, but
oh, and you know, it was just in the Inquirer because I happened to be someplace. I don't ever read it, but I was someplace where someone was reading it. And they're like, "Did you see this? This 92-year-old woman with this 38-year-old man?" And I'm like, "One, it's the Inquirer.
Yeah.
Two,
I don't. Who buy
cares?
That shit. I don't. Buy
who
that
cares?"
Shit.
If that's even true.
It can't be true. What could a 30-year-old man possibly want with a 92-year-old woman?
I don't know. Maybe there wasn't too much pipe laid in her. But I will...
On that note...
Yeah. All right. So once again, guys, so glad to have you with us. If you have any questions or comments, you can always come to our Facebook page, which is Double Bubble with Girk and Keek, or also you can email us at doublebubblepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, we want to thank the Handcuffs for lending their beautiful music to the open and close our show. You can visit their website at www.thehandcuffs.com. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Have a great week.